Welcome to Real Money with Lisa Chastain. Over the next hour, you will hear from leading industry experts how to establish financial confidence and freedom. Her guests will motivate and inspire you to make those financial decisions that you have been thinking about for weeks and maybe even years. Now, here's your host, Lisa Chastain.
Hey, I'm Lisa Chastain, your host of Real Money. And today is just me and you, the listener. And I want to talk to you about something that resonates throughout households across America that I'm working with. I've shared this information with thousands of people probably at this point. And if you've been a listener for some time, you've heard me make reference to these money personalities. And I want to share with you today, I want to take you into the studio with me, just me and you, to have this conversation about what these money personalities are and how you can use them, work with them to have a healthier financial life. This show is perfect to listen with a loved one. It's perfect for you to bring someone in, like a significant other, a sibling, a parent, because there's a lot of judgment that goes on when it comes to money. And what I love about these money personalities that I'm going to share with you today is that everybody works different when it comes to money. But if we're not clear on that, if we don't know that, we can't appreciate the differences and the strengths that we each have, then we just focus on everybody being different from us and we're judging people based on who they are with their own money. And that's not really our business, right? What I love about the money types is that it brings the human side into money. It's not just numbers. There's so much that happens every single day with the decisions that you're making with your money. And I just can't wait. I'm going to dig in and I'm going to take you on a journey. Let's just pretend that you're sitting across the table from me right now. And I'm going to share with you what these money personalities are. First, I want to give you a little background on where they came from. And then we're just going to, for this next hour, dig in and lean into different mindsets of different people. Some of the things that you might be doing is poking your significant other while you're listening to this, or other people, you know, you're listening to this going, oh my gosh, how does she know me? And it's just from years and years of having these conversations, relating them back to, you know, to ideas and thoughts that you're having every single day. And ultimately what I want for you out of this show today is to come away with an appreciation for everyone on this planet, an appreciation for who you are with money. And then you can be you could be thinking about how do you want to dial up the great things that are about you financially? And then what specifically do you need to work on so that you can have a new financial future? Because I know that's what everybody wants anyways. We want to be able to obtain whatever it is that we say we want to obtain. And based on these money personalities, everybody's going to want to do different things and have different results, which I think is pretty cool. So let me take you on a journey. You've heard my story. If you haven't heard my story, if you're new to Real Money, you can go back and listen to the first episode where I share my history, where I came into the financial world and how I failed financially. Ultimately, I failed for a lot of reasons. One of them was that I really wasn't in my strength when it comes to money. I was in the box, what I call the box, living in someone else's box. I was trying to be someone that I'm not authentically when it comes to money, and it was stifling me, and I wasn't getting the results that I wanted to get. When I hired my mentor in 2016, Robin Crane, before I got on the first, after the first call with her, she invited me to schedule another call with her, a paid session with her to dig into my business. And this was a part of the homework. She sent me the money type quiz to take. She wanted to know who I was with money. And she sent me a worksheet that I still use in my world. So I didn't make these up. Robin put this quiz together. I have her permission to share this information today. And if you're a part of Robin's world, you've heard this talk too, probably. I like to bring it back to the people that I work with, though, because I don't predominantly work with business owners. I work with women from all walks of life. Some of them are business owners. Some of them are entrepreneurs. A lot of them are just everyday women going to work, raising kids, living their lives. And this conversation, the money type conversation, applies to you no matter where you are. in the world, no matter what you do with your job or career, no matter how you make your money, it's all applicable. Some of us are better with money than others. That's a learned behavior. And some of it could just be a part of our DNA. It could be a part of who we are naturally. So I'm going to break this down for you. I want to give a big shout out to Robin Crane. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to teach this, because Robin's one of my best friends. And when we work together, we work better together. And I'm just really grateful that we share the same mission of empowering and inspiring women with money. So let's dig in. What it comes down to is that money is choices. And what would your life look like today if, instead of thinking, stressing, being frustrated about money, you were able to take an audit of the choices that you were making? If we were to replace the word money with choices, and if you were required to look at the choices that you're making every single day, what I believe is that it's a culmination of what you believe, not just about money, what you believe about yourself, what you believe about the world. The word belief actually translates into a way of life. So all of the beliefs that we have as humans are in a way of life. We're living our life based on what we believe. Those beliefs, we attribute way back. We get those, we inherit them, they're ancestral. They come to us in a number of ways. We make shit up, but we have this way of life about us. And so do we have beliefs about money and a way of life with money. So if we took some time, and I talk about this in my book, Girl, Get Your Shit Together, to look at the beliefs that we have about ourselves, about others, those beliefs then influence decisions that we make every single day, choices that we make every single day. Those are our behaviors. So what we believe and how we behave equal the results that we have in our life. They equal our bank account. So what are your beliefs, how you're behaving? That's the results that you have in your bank account. For me, what wasn't working in my young adult life was that I had a belief, a deeply rooted belief, that I wasn't worthy. And because of that, I was on spending sprees, buying things, pimping out my business, pimping out my life to look successful. I wanted people to think I was successful. My beliefs of unworthiness were train wrecking me financially. And I had to work on my unworthiness conversation, and I had to learn how to take new action. I was failing in my financial advisor business. I was not making enough money to support my family, to support my business. My behaviors, the things that I was doing, were, I was going broke. Basically, I was pulling money out of savings. I wasn't charging my worth. There was a lot that wasn't working, and that was the result that I had financially. My coach, Robin, taught me how to shift this conversation, how to shift my beliefs, how to make new choices so that I could have new results financially and in my life. And you can do that too. You can do that too. You're very capable of that. But I think it's about having mentors and opening up the conversation with your finances about why you do what you do. I have a new book coming out. It'll be out this fall, this winter, and it's about a new way to money. I just made it a verb. I've seen other people do that before, but I think that if we were to spend time here, just here, looking at your behaviors and beliefs, what I tell my clients and what I know based on the results that they're getting is that you would have new financial results just by looking at your behaviors and your beliefs and by looking at your money. So why do people do different things? And why are we all busy judging other people based on the choices that they're making, right? What if we could just for a minute, which is going to be my invitation for you today, just for a minute, get clear about what is important about money to you. And by knowing and looking at these different money personalities, you'll start to see, hopefully today, and continue the conversation in your own way or with me, with my tribe, you'll start to see that based on who you are, money is important for different reasons. I'll say that again, based on who you are, money is important for different reasons. So today, if you were to pause this right here, even if you're listening live, come back to it. What is important about money to you? And if you're listening to this show with a significant other, pause. Maybe you're listening to the podcast, pause it, write and journal about that. What's important about money to you? And then if you're with a significant other or a family member or a friend, have them do the same thing. And you might have different answers based on what your money personality is. I'm going to bet that you do. What are three words that describe how you feel about money? This is like a coaching session with Lisa. These are the conversations we have regularly with clients as they come into our world. What are three words that describe how you feel about money? Sad, happy, excited. You could pause this right now. Even if you're listening live, you can come back to this. What is important about money to you? And what are words that describe how you feel about money? It's a great way to connect to the emotional side of your financial life and get real, right? Real money, real, open, and honest about what's really going on for you and why. Like, what is that why behind the decisions that you're making? What I know is that money is not rocket science, but there's a lot of people in the money industry that will make it maybe overcomplicate it. And there's a lot to know. Like, that's the truth, right? That in the money industry, there's a lot to know about money. There's a lot to know about business and business financials. But when we all break it down, we can simplify it. And having the human conversation, having the human preferential conversation, understanding what your preferences are and how and why you operate connects right into giving you clarity on why you're making the decisions that you're making, what's driving you, what's compelling you to take action, and we can tweak things from there. Money's not rocket science. I spend all day long in my business with my clients in my programs teaching how to simplify our lives, teaching how to simplify our finances. And with our money personalities, it's a great way to personalize it so that you know you're taking the right action for you, not based on what your family says, not based on even what your significant other says, not based on what your boss says, but based on what's going to motivate you to take action so that you can get the results that you want. And we're all going to work differently when it comes to money. So here we go. I want to talk to you about these five money personalities. And let me say this, as a money expert, one, this isn't my money type. There is a quiz that you can take and I'll give you information about where you can take the quiz to find out your own money type. You can take the quiz and find this out. Also, there are other money experts out there who teach different money personalities. So you might read someone else, you might go to another expert and see that they have different ways of explaining this. This is just our way, me and Robin's way, of describing what these different personality types are. We find that it's very, very relevant for women, especially, and it's just our way of making sense of it for you. So hopefully you can have some fun with it, just like we do all the time. So there's five money personalities, the ones that we teach. Again, this isn't like total fact, like there's different ways of looking at this, but it's so great having these conversations in seminars and in classes that I teach because they're pretty spot on. Questions that I normally get is, can you be a combination of one or two or three? Sure. What I believe is that you're authentically one. And then when you're coming from scarcity or fear, you might slip into another. Also, how you learned about money growing up. Your family may be one of these personalities and you may have assumed or taken on their beliefs. So getting clarity on who you are takes some time. Also getting clarity on your money at the same time will help you flush out which one you are authentically. And it's really all about playing to your strength. If everybody was playing to their strength with finances and in life, we'd have whole teams of people, we'd have whole households of people who can appreciate each other's differences and thrive accordingly. So there's five money personalities. You've heard my guests talk about these. A lot of my guests have been clients and or our current clients, and they'll reference these. So you're probably going, I can't wait to hear these. I want to know what they mean because I want to know what my money type is. But also you want to hear, you know, now that you're continuing the conversation on real money, you'll be able to identify back to my clients and people in my world when they say what their money types are and why they're doing what they're doing. So the first money type is the spendthrift Sally. If you don't know what spendthrift means, it's basically someone that moves through money very quickly. When I had my life and health insurance licenses and I learned about the world of insurance, before I knew anything about the money types, there's a clause in insurance policies that you can have put in as it's really more not necessarily just insurance policies, but like estate planning. When you are putting estate planning together, if you know who the spendthrift is in your family, you don't want to give them $1 million inheritance right away, because people know that that spendthrift is a spender and they're going to go through that money really, really fast. So a spendthrift is someone who moves through money quickly. They tend to gear toward instant gratification. They want what they want. They want it now. Sometimes spendthrifts can throw money at problems. That happens a lot. Instead of dealing with the actual problem, they're going to throw money at the problem. This creates a lot of havoc in families. If we're not dealing with the problems, we're throwing money at our kids. There's a whole lot of problems that I work with clients on because of that. We have to learn how to reverse engineer that. Spendthrifts don't always think, well, almost never think through the consequences of what they're doing. And as a result, they could be going into debt. And a lot of times with spendthrifts, it's not making the money that's the problem. My spendthrifts are very abundant kind of people. Making the money isn't the problem, but it's the spending that can be the problem. And if you're not a spendthrift, and I'm going to talk about the opposite of the spendthrift here in a second. If you're not a spendthrift, this can be a very, very scary experience for you if you're in relationship with a spendthrift. Full disclosure, my husband's a spendthrift. He spends money. He spends it fast. It comes in, it goes out. And not having been raised as a spendthrift, not being authentically a spendthrift myself, it gives me a lot of anxiety, a lot of anxiety. Maybe you're looking at your significant other right now and you're laughing. You're like, oh my gosh, that's you. Or, oh my gosh, that's me. And I have clients that come to me who are spendthrifts. And the truth is, if you're a spendthrift, tried and true spendthrift, it's not likely you're ever going to change who you are. You are who you are, but there's tremendous strength and power in being a spendthrift. A lot of my spendthrift clients and friends are very present in the moment kind of people. They're life of the party kind of people. They're very abundant in their mindset. You're going to hear spendthrifts say things like, I can always go out and make more money. They might be living on the daily financially, but they're somehow always going to make it work. They've got hustle in them. So there aren't always bad things about spendthrifts. But research shows that while money can buy happiness, the quality of your spending is just as important as the quantity. So spendthrifts, just a shout out to you. There's research done on this. I have lots of statistics around this. This one comes from the Journal of Consumer Psychology. Asked which of the two purchases made them happier, 50% of respondents reported that they had derived greater happiness from their experiential purchase, while only 34% reported greater happiness from their material purchase. So spendthrifts, it's not uncommon for spendthrifts to have clothes in their closet with the tag still on, because it's the actual act of spending money that they enjoy, maybe because they want to get that dopamine fix, maybe because instead of dealing with the sadness or the emptiness, they're just going to go spend money to try to fill that void. That was totally me in my 20s being a spendthrift. I'm not a spendthrift, but I was being like a spendthrift because I was filling emotional voids. So just remind yourself as a spendthrift that it's okay to spend money. It's okay. But you have to ask yourself why you're spending money in the first place. And also you get to remind yourself that experiences are going to derive greater happiness over time than things. So we can shift some of the things about the spendthrift that we don't like. We can shift into things that work well all across the board. We can think before we buy. As a spendthrift, if you were to focus on return on investment or acquiring valuable assets, learning to negotiate, tracking your money, these are things that will help you slow down, be intentional with your money. And that's what it's all about anyway. It's not about not spending. It's about being intentional with your spending. So you know why you're doing what you're doing and you feel like you're reaching your financial goals. And for spendthrifts, that's really important. Really, really important. So if you're not a spendthrift and you're listening to this, let's have some compassion for our spendthrifts. Let's not try to fit them in the box of their opposite, which is next. I'm going to talk about the cheap chip. The cheap chip is the opposite of the spendthrift. And when I've done this seminar in front of financial professionals with financial professionals, and a lot of people in the money industry are cheap chips. But here's the thing. Not everyone is a cheap chip. Not everyone can be like a cheap chip. But there's a lot of cheap chips out on the planet that are trying to make people be like them when it comes to money. And it's just not going to happen. So here's the thing about cheap chips from different personality assessments that I've done in my world and know about is cheap chips tend to be people who can be very analytical in their lane. When they are authentically cheap chips, they like data aggregation. They like data. They like research. They like the facts and the figures. And so that lends them to be successful in the finance industry as controllers, as accountants, as researchers. So they can be great with money, but that doesn't always mean that everyone is going to be like them. And that's the biggest thing that I see in the finance industry is that people are trying to, put people into different boxes and a budget. You've heard me talk about budgets before. I have an episode about broken budgets. And the truth is not everybody is going to want to use a budget the same way a cheap chip is going to want to use the budget. Cheap chips can be afraid to invest. They can be afraid to take risks. They can be afraid of losing money. They don't like parting with their money. They can hoard their money. Unlike the spendthrift who spends money freely and joyfully a lot of times, they can have buyer's remorse on the other side of it. But our cheap chips feel very anxious when spending money. They over-research and a lot of times they waste time comparing. They'll never make a decision. And even if they can afford a BMW, they'll drive a Camry. So when I do this out in my seminars, and FYI, I have a program coming up called Money Moves, where we spend the whole morning delving into these money types. If you want to do this work with me, come to Money Moves. We'll have a great time. What I do is I break out the room by money types, and I have them, before they even know what their money type means, I have them take the quiz and figure it out with among themselves. And they're very practical, sensible people who are in the cheap chip category. But it doesn't always feel good to be a cheap chip. Nobody likes stressing out about their money. No one likes feeling anxious about their money. No one. From a buying perspective, our spendthrifts will put something in their Amazon cart and it'll be gone. Like it's on the way without thinking about it. Cheap chips might put something in their cart and it might sit there for a year before they buy it. So one of my best tips for my cheap chips is learn to have a little bit more fun in life. Learn how to make, of course, you're going to make calculated decisions, but don't let that stop you from living the life that you really want. Don't let that stop you from doing the things that you really want to do, like go on vacation. Cheap chips won't do those kinds of things. And that doesn't work for anyone. So those are the first two money types. For cheap chips, we want to make sure you're investing in yourself. Cheap chips like to hoard money, and a lot of times they like it in cash. But knowing what I know about the money industry, and we're going to keep having this conversation on Real Money, you got to make sure that your money's working for you. And money sitting in cash, you're losing money over time. It's called the time value of money. Because of inflation, and in 2022, we've had this huge year of inflation. We're all seeing it real time. If you've got cash sitting in the safe, cheap chips, I know you do, over time, that money's losing value by 2 or 3% a year. And in a year like this, 7, 8, 9%, you're losing money on that money. So don't be a mattress hoarder. Protect your money. Seek security. You're going to do that anyway, but learn how to trust, educate yourself, and learn how to invest in yourself, because cheap chips don't do that either. And also learn how to invest your money. So slowly over time, you aren't losing out on opportunities. That's really, really important for my cheap chips. We're winding down to the break here. So I'm going to give you one more bird's eye view of the third money type. And then after the break, we're going to come right back and talk more about the rest of the money types. My third money type is the overgenerous Olivia. And I want to tell you a story about my mom. My mom is the most generous woman. And she will literally give you the shirt off of her back. And that's what overgenerous Livias do. When I go to my mom's house and I tell her, "Mom, I love that. That's a beautiful." She's like, "Here, take it." I'm like, no, I don't want it. I just love, you know, her lamp or her picture or whatever it is. But overgenerous Livias are always looking out for other people. They're waking up in the morning and they're asking themselves, "Who can I serve today?" My overgenerous Olivia clients are working in nonprofits. They're working in the health sector. A lot of them are in the finance industry because we want to help people. We are people focused. When I first met Robin, she put me in front of a room and she was asking me about what was going on in my business. She goes, "Oh, you're an overgenerous Olivia, aren't you?" And I was being an avoider at that time. And I was kind of in denial, which you're going to learn about when we come back for the break, what that money type is. And I was in super denial. And I was like, "No, I'm not an overgenerous Olivia." 5-6 years later, come to find out, like looking at where my money's going, I'm definitely an overgenerous Olivia. My money's going to other people, serving and supporting people in my business. Have a huge heart. That's why I'm in a service industry, professional service industry. And my overgenerous Olivias are some of my favorite clients. But there's a lot that doesn't work about being an overgenerous Olivia. There's a lot that doesn't work about all of these money types. There's not one that's better than the other. So as we get to break, what I want you to think about is, who are you being with your money? Who are you being about other people and their money? And we're going to come back. We're going to continue this conversation about overgenerous Olivia. We've already spoken about Cheap Chip and Spendthrift Sally. Overgenerous Olivia is the third money type. And after the break, we're going to come back and talk about all the things that don't work about overgenerous Olivia, all the things that overgenerous Olivia can shift so she's in her best, living her best life financially and otherwise. And then we've got two more money types to go. I'm Lisa Chastain, your host of Real Money. Join me back here in just a couple of minutes. We're continuing the conversation about money personalities today, and I can't wait to hear you. You can't wait to hear me. I can't wait to hear you. I always say that. Right back here after the break. Not enough women are talking about money, and I am on a mission to change that. The truth is, so many women feel shame and guilt about the choices they are making financially. And if this is you, I want you to hear today that you are not alone. We are so capable of feeling confident about the choices we are making with our money. The problem is that for so many women, money isn't relatable. Industry experts are talking over your head, and this show is the perfect place for you to improve your confidence and relationship with money. With Real Money, I share real stories of women who are tackling their most difficult financial challenges. We are here to help you hear and understand that you are not alone in feeling lost or confused about your finances, so that you can build your confidence to learn how to make the right choices today. With Real Money, you're going to learn from other women how they tackle their biggest money challenges so that you can get out there and start creating the stability, freedom, clarity, and fun you've always wanted. Join me, Lisa Chastain, each week as we talk about real money with real women for real life.
You are listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. If you have a question for Lisa or her guests, you can call into the show at 866-472-5789. That's 866-472-5789. You can also send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. Now, let's get back to the show. Here is Lisa Chastain.
Okay, we're back. And we were having a conversation about the money types, and I was introducing to you the overgenerous Olivia. The first two money types that we covered was the spendthrift Sally and the cheap chip. Very opposite money types, the spendthrift and the cheap chip. One's very abundant. One moves very fast with money. I've had clients, especially clients who are married, where one is the cheap chip and one is the spendthrift. And a lot of times the spendthrift client feels like they're being strangled or held back by the cheap chip. And the cheap chip is very frustrated by the spendthrift, who wants to spend money very quickly, take action very quickly. And those can be very frustrating conversations. We know one of three reasons people get divorced primarily is money. So part of what's going on is that the money industry, I believe, this is my personal opinion, this is not fact, this is my personal belief, is that the money industry is teaching to one money type, and that's the cheap chip. Save, 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 save. And that makes sense to an extent, but not everyone's geared that way. Everybody's why is different. Spendthrifts got to get, you know, you got to get a hold of your emotions and you've got to be able to spend with clarity. Don't stop spending, just spend with clarity. You're like, oh my gosh, Lisa's giving me permission to spend. Yeah, I am. I am giving you permission to spend because the truth is you're spending anyway. So I'm not going to tell you to stop spending. You're going to be like, I'll see you later. That doesn't sound very fun at all. Those cheap tips are like, no, I can't spend anything ever. I'm going to hoard my money. I'm going to have millions in the bank. Well, cheap chips on the other side won't take the vacation because out of fear and scarcity, there's never going to be enough. They have a huge not enough conversation and that holds them back from doing the things that they want to do too. So even though there's a lot of cheap chips in the industry, what I want you to hear is that your way is just perfect. And there are ways for you to control your money, no matter what your money type is, so that you can have the impact that you were born to have on this planet. My spendthrifts, they have great companies, successful companies, and they just have to learn how to control their money so they can make more of it. Cheap chips, same thing. Cheap chips are great at managing household finances. They're great at saving money. There's room in our world for that. Just like our overgenerous Olivia, who wakes up in service for others, she or he are amazing humans. My husband is a combination between the spendthrift and the overgenerous. He spends money and it's going one of two places, to things. He likes shiny objects. Love you, babe. And he's helping other people. And that's not just with his money, that's with his time. So we can be spendthrifts, we can be cheap chips, and we can be overgenerous with our time just as much as we can be with our money. I had clients come to me and there was something they weren't very happy about the credit card debt that they had. They had done a pretty good job of saving toward retirement, but at this stage in their life, they had about $80,000 in credit card debt, and it was very frustrating for them. When we did the money type quiz and when we sat down and had this conversation, this is usually the first conversation I have with clients. He's a cheap chip and she's an overgenerous Olivia. And his cheap chip was freaking out because cheap chips don't like debt. Like, they're very debt and risk adverse. So seeing all of that debt felt very unsafe for him. And it didn't feel good for her either, just to be clear. Overgenerous Olivias don't love debt just about as much as anybody else. But because of her overgenerous Olivia tendencies, what was happening is that they were busy supporting so many people in their lives, and that was hurting them financially. Overgenerous Olivias tend to be those 3 a.m. friends where they will show up and they will wake up and they will give back. They will do whatever they can, but oftentimes it's at their own expense. A lot of overgenerous Olivias are unhealthy. They're overweight. They're not taking care of themselves. They're not prioritizing themselves. So even though they want to be helping people, it's often at their own expense. And that doesn't work. That doesn't work with our time. That doesn't work with our money. Overgenerous Olivias aren't focused enough on themselves or their futures. A lot of times they get lost in other people's bullshit. And if you're listening to this, what I want you to hear is that you're not alone, right? Hearing that there's spendthrifts out there, hearing that there's cheap chips out there, hearing that there's overgenerous Olivias out there. No way is the right or wrong way. It just is. But if you're an overgenerous Olivia, what you want to hear is that you've got to learn how to prioritize yourself. You've got to learn how to take care of yourself. You've got to stop giving time and resources away for free. If you're a business owner, it's likely you're not charging enough. You're not collecting the money up front. You're supporting a lot of people, but oftentimes it's at your own expense, and that doesn't add up financially. There is a way for you to have a profitable business. And if you're not a business owner, like I said, a lot of my clients are not business owners. If you're not a business owner and you're an overgenerous Olivia, you're probably not asking for the raise. You're probably not making enough. You don't value yourself enough. You are golden. And that was my problem. I'm going to say that again. You are golden. You are amazing. And you get to prioritize your health and your wealth so that you can support even more people. That is the best tip that I can give you as an overgenerous Olivia. If you are in relationship with an overgenerous Olivia, the best thing you can do is support them in prioritizing themselves. Financially, what you have to realize for my overgenerous Olivias is that the more you make, the more you can give. Money matters. Don't tell yourself it doesn't matter. It matters. Raise your prices, negotiate for a higher salary, learn to collect the money up front so you don't get beat up on. A lot of overgenerous Olivias tend to be doormats in their lives. People are walking all over you. Stop it. Give, but give with boundaries. And don't negotiate your prices. Your prices are your prices. Be like Oprah. She's an overgenerous Olivia. Right? You get a car. But what overgenerous Olivia Oprah says is attract people in your life who value and appreciate you, and everything will turn around. We know you're already giving. So let's make sure that others are giving back to you just as much. So those are the first three money personalities. We've got the spendthrift, we've got the cheap chip, we've got the overgenerous Olivia. And Robin Crane calls this the DD. This is the next money type. This is the DD. In her world, she calls it delusional Dan. And in my world, because I work with primarily women, I call it delusional Delilah. So somebody's laughing right now listening to this. You're like, oh my gosh, what's that mean? I'm totally a DD. Well, a lot of times our DDs, so this is my primary money type, delusional Delilah. My secondary money type is overgenerous Olivia. I grew up a cheap chip. My parents are cheap chips. My parents still thrift shop. My dad grew up poor. There was always a big, not enough conversation, but they were pretty savvy with their money. So we never went without, but we had a very modest life growing up. But those cheap chip values I inherited. And what wasn't working for me as a financial advisor, what wasn't working for me and my business is I had to bust through those conversations to amp up my delusional Delilah, my big dream, big thinker, big dreamer, big risk taker. When I left my safe, cushy job, my government job that had a 401k, health benefits, when I jumped off the deep end, it freaked my parents out. I was like, woo, I jumped out of an airplane without a parachute. Just kidding. I did have some money in savings, but delusional Delilahs are going to take big risks. I am actually motivated and excited by taking risk. Cheap chips, not so much. So I had to bust through my cheap chip limiting conversations to be able to fully rise to the occasion as a delusional Delilah. And when I did that, because of the dream that I have, because I was able to take the risk, because I was able to make the right choices, take the right action financially and otherwise, everything turned around really fast. I built a six-figure business in 10 months. I hadn't done that in the 3 years that I'd never made that much money actually. And in the 3 years that I was trying to build my business, I definitely hadn't made that much money. So it was very exhilarating for me. And in the same year, I got a divorce. I wrote a book. Delusional Delilahs will do big things and they'll do them a lot faster than other people. There's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of times what hurts us as delusional Delilahs is that we're not taking action. We're not taking action and we're not following through. We have squirrel syndrome, shiny red ball syndrome. We have a lot of ideas all at once that we're trying to execute. We don't have a plan, but we expect it all to work out. You'll hear a delusional Delilah say things like, yeah, I can go out and make $1 million, but they're not necessarily making that kind of money. So they just know they're going to make it big someday. They have a lot of confidence about themselves. Success is really important to delusional Delilahs. But you got to know that there are things that you need to be doing as a delusional Delilah to get the result that you want. So you've got to identify for yourself as a delusional Delilah, what's going to get you the success so that you can focus on the right things. Because like shiny red ball syndrome for me, because success is really important to me, coupled by the fact that I had this really unworthiness conversation, 31-year-old Lisa went out and bought a Rolex. Totally delusional Delilah thing to do. I went out and bought a Rolex because I wanted people to think that I was successful. I didn't grow up with a whole lot. You know, we had hand-me-downs. We didn't really get to wear designer clothing growing up. So I had a big fat engagement ring and I had a Rolex and I was walking around trying to help, with that perception, the external perception that I was successful. but I was also going broke. I had credit card debt trying to hold up that lifestyle. That's also very typical of a delusional Delilah because we want others to think that we're successful. So if you have a big dream, what I want you to hear is that you can do it. I just needed my mentor, Robin, to give me the permission to fly. But what I also needed was accountability and support in taking the right action. So as a delusional Delilah, if you want big results, you've got to take big action. You've got to have a plan. You've got to follow through, and you've got to focus on return on investment. And here's the key, because we want others to think that we're successful, we also need to show our vulnerability. It's actually our strength, even though it makes us very uncomfortable. Things turned around for me as a delusional Delilah when I had the courage to tell the truth, when I had the courage to stop hiding behind the things. You know what I'm talking about, the Apple Watch, the iPads, the cars, all the things. And I got vulnerable. I asked for help and I started to share my story so that I can help other people. So as a delusional Delilah, keep those things in mind. Stop pimping your business. There's certain things that you don't need to be successful. So you got to get clear on what will get you to the success that you want. And you've got to stay the path. So that's our fourth money personality. And our fifth one is Avoider Alice. Robin calls it Avoider Al. She's got these Barbie dolls. So if you ever see Robin's world or ever see her do this talk, she's got dolls that each correlate with these different names. So I call it Avoider Alice because I work primarily with women. She has Avoider Al because her doll is like, she stole them from her daughter, Phoenix. And it was just like this Barbie doll that has this blind, he's basically blind to his problem. So he's got a blindfold on. Avoider Al doesn't have a shirt on because he couldn't find it. And really, I don't have a lot of avoiders that come to my workshops or join me as clients. Why do you think that is? Because they're busy avoiding their problems. My ex-husband's an avoider, and it was very painful. If authentically you're an avoider, what that means is you're someone who doesn't like conflict. You're someone who doesn't want to focus on the problems. You'd rather focus on things being okay. You're conflict avoidant. You like to play it safe, keep things stable and steady. And that's not a bad thing. But oftentimes what happens is avoiders are blind to their money problems and problems in general. They're not having the important conversations. They're burying their head in the sand, proverbially. My ex-husband was burying all of the things with alcohol. And we couldn't have the important conversations. He didn't want to have those important conversations. And ultimately, financially and interpersonally, it killed us. It killed the relationship. Avoiders avoid confrontation. They avoid dealing with problems. They ignore important things. So they end up worse. This is not healthy. And the truth is, no matter what your money personality is, we can all become avoiders in our lives. We can all become avoiders financially. If delusional Delilahs aren't getting the results that they want, they can avoid. If spendthrifts are overspending, they could be hiding things. They could be going shopping and then hiding those shopping bags in their cars or in the closet so the other person doesn't see them. Maybe I just called you out. You're like, oh my gosh, that's me. Or they're just not looking at their money because they don't want to see the ultimate result in their life. I just had Eileen on my show. She's a cheap chip, but she was being an avoider to all the debt that she had, because if you're a cheap chip and you have debt, you don't want to look at it. It doesn't feel good. So you're going to avoid it. So any one of us, overgenerous Olivia, if you're giving, 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 you don't want to look at it. It doesn't feel good. All that to say is we can all become avoiders when we're not in alignment and we're not taking the right action. And when things don't feel good, we can get bottled up and we don't know what to do. But there are some people who are more inherently avoiders. Their bills pile up. Even if they have the money to spend on things, they don't pay their bills. They're not tackling difficult things. They just want to keep things on the cushy with the rose colored sunglasses on. And that doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work. But if that's you and you're an avoider and you're like, what do I do about it? One of the best things that you can do is hire a coach, hire someone to support you and cheer you on, hire someone who's safe to have the hard conversations. You've got to learn how to lean into conflict. Getting coaching can help you do that. And if you are an avoider, take baby steps, tackle one thing at a time, set some goals, make some appointments with yourself. There's a lot of ways for you to overcome those challenges, but it's usually a mountain that started as a molehill for an avoider. And if it feels too big and overwhelming, finding someone in your that can be on your side and in your court will really help. And then there's this. There's this for all money types, but especially for the avoiders. I'm going to give you permission to outsource. For example, if you don't like cleaning your house, don't do it. If you're not going to clean your house, stop lying to yourself and telling yourself that you're going to. Let's just find you the money to outsource the things that you don't want to do. Have someone else pay your bills. As business owners who are avoiders, if you don't want to do it and it's crushing you, find someone else to do it. When you can outsource those things, you're going to feel a whole lot better that they're getting done. And then you can go back to doing whatever it is that you love to do, because avoiders don't like to do the things that are hard. They also don't like to do the things that aren't fun. So they're just going to avoid them. Another thing is that when it comes to money, one of the reasons that we can become avoiders is that we just don't know how. We don't know how to ask for help. We don't know how to manage our money. We're afraid of people seeing through us. Hello, delusional Delilahs. So there are lots of ways to overcome being avoiders, but the first thing is you got to start looking at things and having open, honest conversations. Having a coach can really help you do that. So when I do this talk, those are the five money personalities. We have the spendthrift, the cheap chip, the overgenerous Olivia, the delusional Delilah, and the avoider. And when I have this conversation at large with at seminars or with clients one-on-one, the first question I ask is, has this been valuable? And in what way has it been valuable? I hope that by listening through these different money types, it's shedding light on who you are and who other people are when it comes to their finances. Just like in so many other areas of our lives, we all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. None of us are perfect. And with our finances, what's really important is that we stop judging ourselves. And also you have to realize that how one person did something is not how you're necessarily going to be successful in your own life. Listen, there are a lot of money experts out there who are giving a lot of financial advice. And what I would like to do today is one, caution you, and two, take a step back, invite you to take a step back. By understanding who you are with money and what your money personality is and what your preferences are in life, when you can gain awareness of what your superpowers are, then you can start communicating consciously about yourself, your preferences. Then you can start aligning your choices. Remember, I started this whole conversation with choices. You can start aligning your choices in the direction of your dreams. You can communicate with others from a personal responsibility perspective. I am responsible for the choices I'm making, and I am a delusional Delilah, and I love taking risk. So because of that, I'm going to put myself in situations where I can fly, where I can be successful. And I'm not going to judge my husband for being someone that I am not. So as you're listening to different financial experts out there, and as you're thinking about how you're moving forward for yourself financially, find experts who align with who you are and can support you and teach you the best way for you. Not just trying to stuff you into their own box. There's a lot of cheap chip experts out there, which is all good. If they're willing to mentor you and support you, let's just make sure that they're also not trying to fit you into their cheap chip box if it doesn't work for you. What's a good example of this? Well, a tangible example of this is if you're not a cheap chip, you're not going to love to analyze data. You're also not going to take 10 years to make a decision. You're not going to want to do the research that you need to do. You're going to go more off of intuition potentially, or you're going to make decisions in another way. And that's okay. And that's okay. But let's find ways for you to make the choices that you need to make so that you can have the life that you love. And realize that how you do what you do, it's awesome. It's amazing. We just got to get you going in the right direction for who you are. Spendthrift, go make more money. Go make more money and go track the money that you have. That's going to be a great way for you to start turning the corner financially and getting on a new track. I support all of my clients with creating spending accounts. Now, spending accounts is are really cool no matter what your money type is, because for spendthrifts, they're going to love that they have that spending account. My husband gets $200 a week. He gets it in his spending account. He spends it, no questions asked. And I don't really care. No questions asked. He doesn't have to report on it. It's his account. I don't ask him what he's doing in that account. It's all good. I have access to it, but right, you get the picture. For my cheap chips, same thing. It's so common, ladies. It's so common for my cheap chip clients to not be giving themselves anything. You're holding back on the joys of life. So for my cheap chips, same thing. Make a spending account for fun. Allow yourself to go have fun. You're going to have clarity on where all the rest of the money is going. But I promise you, with the right plans, with taking the right steps, you can enjoy your life now and you can save for your future. For those of us who are raised poor, you know, you were raised poor, or you were raised as a cheap chip, buy cheap chips, or somehow along the way, you just learned that that was the best way to be. Just remember that not everybody's going to be like you. For my overgenerous Olivias, have a spending account and have a giving account. Now, cheap chips aren't going to be the most generous, although they still will give. But if you know that about you, if you know you're just always going to want to give, why don't you set yourself up for success and have a spending account, have a control on that, have clarity on what's going into that spending account, but then also have a giving account. So when people come and ask you for money, which they will, because you know you're over generous, people know who you are. You don't say no. Then you have a giving account where you have clarity that you can actually give something when someone asks, or when a charity comes your way, or when Sarah McLachlan comes on with those big puppy dog eyes on the commercials. If you remember seeing those when I was a kid, those always got me. I was always the one crying after those shows, those commercials, wanting to give all my money to the children and to the animals. You can give, but just give with clarity. If you are the fine, well, there's five, right? So cheap chip, spendthrift, over generous, and delusional Delilah, go big. Feed into your dream. Invest into the dream, but also know that you don't have to be like, you don't have to have certain things to be successful. Just because you don't have the Rolex, hello, doesn't mean that you can't be successful. So stop pimping your business, have an account set up to spend, but have clarity on what's really going to get you the return on investment so that you can live the dream. Also, a lot of my delusional Delilahs try to start like multiple businesses at once. You're like, oh my God, that's me. Maybe just try one business, get one business off the ground, become successful there first. And then my avoiders, let's just make sure you're looking at your money. Let's make sure that you're managing your responsibilities. And at the end of the day, find people to help you, find people to support you. With your money personalities, there's no one sits one. Sorry, there's no one size fits all. You behave differently in the world, and that's okay. Your way is not the wrong way. Stop trying to fit into the box. I really hope that this conversation today has shed some light and opened up some new possibilities for you. What I know is when clients learn this, they go, "Oh my gosh, how did you know me?" Well, I've just been doing this a long time. And what I know also is that everybody's brilliant in their own way. Everybody can be great with money. Everybody can have what they want, what they say they want. And I believe that that's the case for you. So if you want to do the money types with us in Las Vegas live, I have a live event coming up August 20th called Money Moves, where we are going to do the money types together. You're going to get to have this conversation live with other women, talk about what's important to you when it comes to money. And along with that, at Money Moves, I share a whole lot of other ways that you can get going in the right direction for you. I've got a year-long mentorship called Savvy, where you can learn about your money type. You can get into action. I have experts that you can learn from along the way. Yes, education matters. I want to educate you on money, but I also want you in action so that you're not going to spend the rest of your life trying to learn something. Let's get you into action. If you're interested in learning anything about any of the programs that I have to support you, you can go to lisachastain.com or just email me at asklisa@lisachastain.com. I'm so grateful that you joined me for today's conversation. I'm so grateful that you're in the real money world. Share this episode out with someone that you love. Have the conversation together. And if you want to take the money type quiz, send me an email at asklisa@lisachastain.com and I'll send it your way. So in closing today, what I want you to know is that the past is the past. There is a new future for you financially. Get to know who you are with money first, and then start taking the right action in the right direction, and all things are possible. Thanks for listening to Real Money, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Real Money with Lisa Chastain on the Voice America Business Channel. Miss the opportunity to call in but have a question for Lisa regarding one of today's topics? You can send an email to Lisa at lisachastain.com. We will see you next time.